Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz. I am joined tonight by a skeleton crew, but
a lot of meat on this skeleton.
An awfully meaty skeleton, Russ Miller, the nicknameless Russ Miller. Russ, how are you doing tonight?
I'm moist. Yourself?
I have to say that I'm moist, and I am getting I'm getting leather chair or vinyl chair ass. Getting like summer sit-down ass.
Sure, yeah.
Or my shorts press.
It's like sitting in a pool.
Get kind of moist and press against my ass, and I'm getting
get
like
sores?
Getting like an adult version of diaper rash.
I think.
That's basically what
I'm
saying.
Absolutely. I heard that.
Yes, indeed. Well, anyway, so I hope everyone is ready for a highly unprepared, extremely slapdash episode of Dial A Dork.
Just don't slap my dash.
We don't have any of the normal segments this week as of yet.
I got a good amount of shit, but
I do have some pieces of flair I could discuss. I also have a Tales from the Dork Side, although it's not all that dorky. And we might even try to place a speakerphone call to Dr. J the Science Gay because I want to ask him a couple of questions. So, but anyway, Russ, how was you? We've been off the air for a couple of weeks, so how have you been?
I've been pretty well, I would say. I'd have to say. I'm saying right now.
Anything interesting happen?
You know, in the world of normal people, probably not. There's probably some dorky stuff that happened. Today I had to stay home this morning and got a naked DSL installed. Oh my.
You got what?
Naked DSL.
Now, would you like to elaborate on what the term naked DSL... I'm
guessing
that means...
Yes, but it will only disappoint.
That means DSL without a phone number, right?
That is indeed what it means. Okay. You can't get it from SBC in town.
But you can get it from Speakeasy.
Correctamundo.
So if you were to go out and get, say, a naked DSL account from Speakeasy, does that mean that then you could use, say, Vonage or something like that over your DSL line?
Speakeasy actually has a VoIP package of their own.
They have a VoIP package of their own.
Get down with that. Our plan is to drop the phone lines and go cell only. So we're going to try that for a while. Although I'm really tempted to get, some kind of VoIP going and play with Asterisk or something like that.
Well, now let me ask you this. You're going to do all that and get go all cellular. That means you get decent reception in your place?
You know, it's been kind of an issue. I never really had too much of a problem, although I wouldn't say I was full. I didn't have four bars. And then my girlfriend came on my plan, and she's working from home now. And she has to do phone interviews and whatnot. And, yeah, she's wondering if it's going to quite suffice. I think it's all right. I think it's all right. But we have had some worries about Sprint service in our area and many other areas recently. Because they're terrible in the Heights. We just never go to the Heights. The Heights of Cleveland.
I see. I really could never go to Strictly Cellular, at least with my current phone, because in my house it's extremely inconsistent. In my living room, my first floor and second floor, it's pretty much no problem. Not great, but it pretty much holds the call. Nothing in the basement. And I'm in the basement a fair amount, as we are right now.
Right. Now, I did find a way to help your cell phone reception this week, and I may be experimenting with this. It's not good for walking around like on your hat antenna, but
no,
I
but
did
like
find
in your
a
home
link for somebody who hooked up some kind of Wi-Fi antenna, which he claims is very close to the bandwidth for cell phones. And he says,
What is it?
He started with some kind of Wi-Fi antenna.
Yeah.
And modded it out, and whatnot.
Well, it's a similar bandwidth.
It's a close frequency, yes.
Okay, so, I mean...
I'm not sure how he attached to the cell phone, though. I'm keep meaning to read this.
My old cell phone, my old Nokia 5150 or 5100, whatever, very classic. It had kind of a navy blue cover and a black back and a little nubby antenna at the top.
Right.
That stuck out, but it didn't extend.
Gotcha.
Classic Nokia phone with the monochrome LCD.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the ones that went ba-da-da-ba-ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- look at that cool grid.
Yeah, I think this is some kind of purchase Wi-Fi
antenna.
Is
this some buddy of yours, or this is just something you saw on a blog?
Found it on the online.
Okay.
In the webosphere.
Okay. So, in other words, he's using like some kind of like the same kind of cable you might get in a high gain antenna for your wireless network in your home or something
cheaper
like
net.
It's like SNA or
it's a thin coax, basically.
Thin coax, yeah.
That's what it appears to be.
So I know a lot of phone, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, my Nokia, my old Nokia had on the back a little rubber nub or
like
nib.
Like wireless cards used to have for a little while.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, exactly. My old Proxim mm-hmm. DS Rangeland cards had those. And you just pop this little nib out. And it had a little SNA or whatever that little adapter is. Not the Linksys kind, not the fat one, but the little thin one. And presumably you could put an antenna on that thing. And I always contemplated doing just that. You can actually buy them for your car. They come on with a very heavy-duty magnet, so you can just Starsky and Hutch them to the roof of your car.
It appears he made this wire mesh that you were admiring. As I read this, and
he
also
it.
Has
he just drill press it
a Nokia phone. Well, I think the wire mesh he bought, but he formed it a little bit. Anyway, I'll try to get show notes up this week and try to do last week too sometime because Dewey's disappointing us. But
Dewey,
bigredball.blogsome.com and look for mobile phone or mobile phone reception, and I think you'll find this post. It's pretty cool.
All right. Well, that is very interesting because I did see on a show. Oh, God, I don't know. Some home improvement type show, okay? They did something with a home unit where you basically put this unit, like, in your attic.
Right.
And it kind of...
But what, do you have to move the bodies?
It goes on the roof of your attic.
Okay, that's good.
So unless you've got bodies, like, between the joists of your roof, then you're probably all right.
Well, by the end of the month, usually.
Speaking of between the joists of your... attic. I never, as much as I love the movie Revenge of the Nerds,
yes,
I only had one quibble, one nitpick, really.
Was it with Booger? I really did not enjoy his character. Well, his character, but not his booger picking.
It's no, gross. I thought that was essential. Like, why do they call you Booger? I don't know.
Ugh.
As he's picking Brody. His nose. I actually really can't find fault with anything in the film.
Except for... The dam.
Well, when they are in the Alpha Beta house, and they're doing the panty raid to act as misdirection so that Wormser and Lamar, or is it Wormser and Lamar? Yeah, I think it's Wormser and Lamar are up in the attic putting in the security
cameras.
Cams.
Right.
And in one of the girls' rooms, they are lowering in a big black...
I mean, the first time
I said big
sorority
black.
Had a big black something lowered into it.
You know who that is? It's,
No.
Wait, I got it! Hello?
Hello?
Ladies and gentlemen in the Dial-A-Dork listening community, that is the dulcet tones of Maciej Bogdan Zawadzki, CEO and president of Urban Code Software, manufacturers of Anhill 3, the world's most revolutionary... build management and automation software package. Isn't that correct, Maciej?
Yes, but you forgot about the application lifecycle management server aspect of it.
You are right. I forgot about the application lifecycle management aspect of it. So speak up a little bit more and tell us what you're doing this evening.
I am working.
Working?
The patent application.
Oh, the patent application, the software patent. Is there anything you'd like to tell us about that process?
Well, I can tell you I'm kind of, you know, anti-software patents. But, yeah, kind of ironically, I'm working on one myself.
Well, why are you engaging in such a necessary evil?
Yes, it is an evil. For the, I guess, the normal reason of in the previous versions of our product, we didn't get a patent on any of the ideas contained in those previous versions, and our competitors copied our stuff to the point where if we had a bug, they had the exact same bug.
What do you think about that, Russ, that they copied his software so much that they actually had the same bugs.
Nice. That's terrible. Is this another open source product that's out there?
Open source and commercial.
Huh.
Yeah, commercial software as well.
That's terrible.
Maciej, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What is there anything different about a software patent than, say, like, you know, a regular patent of, like, an actual physical widget?
You know, that's getting into an area that I have really no knowledge about.
Well, you are a juris doctor, are you not?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I know.
Well, you know, Maciej is a graduate of the Marshall School of Law at Cleveland State University.
Wouldn't copyright cover that to some extent?
Well, copyright only covers, you know, the expression of the ideas.
Right, so, like, your code and your bugs would, if...
They didn't actually, like, get our source code and, you know, claim it was theirs. They copied the ideas in our source code and the kind of the implementation of those ideas to the point where, you know, actually we had a problem with one of those ideas. One of the ideas, the way we implemented, was incorrect. Okay, it wasn't any rocket science. It was an idea about integrating with another software package, right? Which our competitor, this particular competitor, wanted to integrate with as well. Okay. And our idea about how to go about that integration was incorrect. We implemented it incorrectly. The guy,
you know,
that copied us,
thing to make,
implemented it in exactly the same way. They didn't rip off our source code and, you know, just copy our source code.
Now, you were their spec.
I'm sorry?
You were their spec for how they wrote their software.
We're their specs, exactly.
Hey, Maciej, I mean, isn't that grounds for legal action or not? Or not without a patent.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't really know. But, you know, it doesn't really matter because these guys are small, you know, kind of, I mean, it's basically like two guys that are.
But you want to watch out in case Microsoft shows up one day with your bugs.
Hmm?
Are you trying to protect yourself against the likes of, like, BuildForge and others or like Microsoft?
So I guess...
Well, I guess BuildForge is IBM now, right?
Yeah. I suppose we are trying to protect against those guys. Although those guys, one, the product is very secretive, as in, you know, unless you're going to pay them serious money, they're not even going to show you their product. So I've never seen their product. So I don't know whether their product copies any of our stuff or not. I kind of doubt, even if it does copy some of our stuff, I doubt that it copies a lot of stuff, just because, you know, I imagine those guys are kind of doing their own thing, you know, have some level of thought that they put into their product, you know, but then there's other people out there that just want to reinvent the wheel, just blatantly reinvent the wheel. Oh, you wrote that? Oh, okay, cool. You know, I can write that. In fact, let me write that, you know, and,
right,
you know. That's,
so you don't believe in the copy and paste development model?
Well, I don't believe in, I do believe that doing what somebody else did.
But I thought you were a huge proponent of, reuse of code.
Well, copy and paste, yeah, but, I mean, I'm just saying that spending your life re-implementing something that somebody else already implemented and is selling is kind of a waste of, you know, waste of time, right?
I would have to say so, yes.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Now, copy and paste as a method of reuse, it depends on on what granularity level we're talking about copying and pasting. We're talking about copying and pasting, you know, snippets, small snippets of code, as in like several lines. Is probably not such a bad idea.
Well, Maciej, Russ has just pulled up a website called programmingishard.com.
Okay.
And it's a public repository of code snippets.
And you can tag them all so you can get to them pretty easily, like Dig or whatever, or Delicious.
All right, there you go. Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely little kind of, you know, snippets of code that you can... You know, that you use over,
but
and
we're
over
talking
and over
about
and over again.
We're talking about implementing a little thing here, maybe, you know, some kind of, you know, interaction with a mail program or interaction with a database or something that might take a very average programmer a day or two to figure out, or they could just go to Programming is Hard.
Yeah, but that's, you're talking about kind of having examples at that point. Once you get into, like, you know, kind of task-oriented stuff, you know, how to interact with a database or how to send an email or how to, you know, do this or that. Yes, there's an idiom. There's, you know, kind of a, you know, the right way to do it, and there's not that many right ways of doing it, you know, for a particular language, right? I mean, the right way to do it is going to be different for every language. But in a particular language, there's, you know, typically like one way of doing it and very few variations on that way. But, I mean, there you're talking about, like, you know, not so much copy and paste as more of a, you know, just good example, right? Learning by example.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's actual...
You know, like, when you copy that piece of code, I mean, are you going to actually copy it and paste it into your code, or are you just going to look at that code and basically rewrite it with your own variable names? You know, the code in the... I haven't seen the site, but I'm just kind of... I've seen similar sites. You know, I mean, sometimes the code is, you know, incomplete in the sense that there's really, you know, it's just kind of floating out there. You know, it's not connected to anything else. You know, whereas you still have to connect it to the rest of your app. You know, which, you know, copying and pasting would not accomplish that. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed. I actually don't know. Maybe we'll investigate a little bit and check it out, because I know that I personally believe that programming is hard. Otherwise, I think more people would do it and do it well, right?
There's all kinds of levels of this sharing. I mean, there's patterns, there's snippets, you know, the cookbook level kind of idea.
Yeah. Hard and time-consuming. That's the other.
Well, so what do we owe the pleasure of this phony call?
Oh, it was more of a personal matter. Had a question for you.
It's not something you want to discuss on the air?
It's related to... getting contact information for a mutual friend.
Oh, contact information?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you shoot me an email and I'll bust you out whatever I got.
All right, emails.
Cool. All right, man.
All right.
Hey, how's everything?
Everything is good.
How's the family?
They're fine.
How's the wife and kids?
Your wife, my kids?
I think she's pretty miserable because, you know, they're both still up.
Ah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have air conditioning?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
So at least she's not miserable and hot.
Yeah. But well. So all right. So, you know, things are progressing along.
Yeah. Progressing.
All right. Good. Well, I'm out of town this weekend. So if you had any designs on that, I'm not around.
Anybody out there in the podcasting world, or
yeah.
You know where he lives,
I'll be out of
town. He won't be here.
So, rob my house. All right, dude. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks for calling, bro.
Bye.
See ya.
You want to hear a double tech thing I did today?
Hell yeah.
I was got caught up in some stuff. I jumped on earlier in the morning, ended up working from home all day. Sounds relaxing, but I just didn't have time to get to the office. So I just had CNN on in the background.
Okay.
All day. I don't know if you're aware, there's some major stories going on. There's a whole war starting. There's Fidel Castro who is ill. And for fuck's sake, don't forget Mel Gibson and his seven press conferences.
I think we all knew that Mel Gibson was nuts.
I don't care.
I mean, knew he was nuts a long time ago, and then it's just manifested itself more and more demonstratively.
Terrible, terrible. Anyway, they had to cover that. Anyway, one of the things they covered was Fidel a lot, and they kept throwing out the end. I must have heard it three times a day on CNN. He tried out for the Washington Senators back in the day.
He was a pitcher, I believe. No?
I'd heard that many times. And
I believe it's true.
Relatively recently, I heard that it was false. So after hearing it three times...
Snopes.
I hit Snopes.
It's true.
It's false.
It's true.
It's very false.
No. His name before Fidel Castro was actually Walter Johnson.
There's a quote from the book The History of Cuban Baseball, which basically points it out as one of the more annoying facts in the history of Cuban baseball. Or non-facts. Or myths. Misconceptions.
Facts! Mm-hmm. With hand quotes.
Yeah. So I was annoyed that CNN was throwing this out, even though I know, you know, things
CNN's
happen.
CNN's not a reputable news organization.
So the other thing they were plugging the fuck out of today was their new iReport. Heard of this?
Is it like the letter I report?
Yes, of course. You send in your little cell phone snapshot or movie, and, you know, they'll put it up there. And they even say, and if we choose yours, you can tell your friends how great you are, basically. They like, lead you up to giving you something, and they don't. They just say, go do our work for you. So I chose to do some of the work by fact-checking, and I took a screenshot of Snopes, and I sent it into iReport.
That's a great... I congratulate you, sir. I congratulate you.
You know some poor little schmuck that has to go through everybody's stupid cell phone pictures? Blurry, handheld crap of nothing important?
Or little shitty movies like, made with their cameras.
Now I get to show them something.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Well done.
And it also, by the way, the iReport was a real pain in the ass to use and gave me a few errors. Threw up a bunch of XML, HTTP request errors. That's AJAX stuff. But it seemed to process, so I hope it went through.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised that something new like that would experience unforeseen, you know, load-induced errors or strange things that users will do that you could just never anticipate in a typical
testing.
I didn't
do nothing unusual.
Right. I'm just blown away, man. That is so clever. By the way, I got a question. I mean, whatever the reasons were at the time to, you know, engage in sort of, you know, embargo with Cuba.
Right.
Do those reasons still exist?
No,
do American citizens, by and large, give a damn? Why can't we just... Or is it just a situation where we just can't do it until Castro is dead?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he is then, you know, revered, martyred, he wins. But, you know, I don't give a shit. I heard that prior to whatever it was, the 50s or whatever it was, that Castro came to power and then the embargo went into place, that Cuba was a freaking paradise.
I know friends who've gone over there, and it's still a beautiful country. A lot of poverty, phenomenal health care. And an old guy that used to pitch for the Senators.
Or at least tried out. According to nobody. I still don't understand. I mean, why can't we just... look at what you've got.
I think
you've got people desperate
came.
Enough to ride a ramshackle raft to, you know, 90 miles to the tip of Florida. They're that desperate. You know, you have to look at yourselves. You have to be like, you know... What are we doing?
Right.
Why are we forcing these people into this?
I got the feeling like
there are so many families that are broken up right now.
Carter was running around trying to get that stopped because I think everybody, even more conservative people, were starting to come to their senses about it and saying, you know, A, they're not winning. B, we're just hurting them worse, and we probably could get our McDonald's and Starbucks in there and win this a lot faster.
Not only McDonald's and Starbucks, try like Hilton, Sheraton, Marriott, Hyatt.
So,
you know, all
but
the
I think
big ones.
It's just I think you're right about him having to kick
oh,
before.
Oh, and also, you know, if
we
I'm
come back down.
If I'm Steve Wynn,
yeah.
Or if I'm the Maloof brothers, or if I'm Bally's or Hilton or Caesars or any of those things,
I think maybe Hooters Casino should start there.
I am lobbying like fucking crazy to Congress to open Cuba back up, and I am going to put casinos there because, you know, otherwise, you know, I mean, people in Florida would just flock to Cuba, I would think, to go get, basically, to gamble, to drink, to party, to fuck.
Sure.
To do all the
How
stuff.
How far away is Puerto Rico from the continental United States? I know Dewey went there at one point.
I have no idea. Let's Google map it.
Moogle Gap.
All right, so talk about something.
All right. Let's see. I watched War Games twice this week. It was on channel 23.
It was on, wasn't it?
God, I love that. I could watch that 18 times in a row.
They're moving NORAD.
That's right. They are moving Cheyenne NORAD. Mountain is going to be empty. You know, that just means they're going to put the cool stuff there. Because NORAD was a secret for a while, right?
Yeah.
They're going to, like, publicly move the thing we know about, but who knows what goes in there. Who knows? It could be, the Bush family, when Jeb becomes president, the actual entire family's probably got to be protected. Inevitably. Oh, when Jeb opens Cuba, that will be like Nixon going to China.
Well, you know, look, if Jeb Bush opens Cuba, what do you mean Jeb Bush opens Cuba?
When he's president and he opens Cuba.
You think Jeb Bush is going to be president?
Hell yeah. We may only have Bushes for presidents from now on.
I hear Jeb...
No, he won't be 2008. He'll be 2012.
I hear Jeb Bush is actually remarkably competent.
He definitely seems like the most competent.
I don't know.
Who knows? Didn't Neil, like, run the savings and loans into the ground? So he'll get a shot in, like, 2020.
Okay, I'm looking at Google Maps. I've zoomed out pretty far, and I've seen that an inch is 500 miles, and I'm going to go out on a limb and I'll say about 1,250 miles.
Okay, so a little more than 90. 1,250 miles is a long way.
I'm told that it's 90 miles from Key West to Cuba. Yeah, not to Havana.
I believe you.
But to Cuba.
Now those little personal airplanes, maybe those will be. Have you seen that Honda's making a personal airplane?
Yeah.
That'll be right. You turn it over to Cuba in a second. The little, and it's a jet, too.
I heard a thing on
Mayonnaise?
NPR.
Oh.
NPR, where they're talking about, like, sport planes have, you know, come way, way down in price. Cessna says it's now profitable. They're going to stop, you know, they're not going to focus exclusively on, like, corporate jets and stuff like, and like, teaching planes. They're going to, like, make these little sport planes. And I guess, like, applications for flying licenses and stuff have like, gone up, like, 100-fold or something in the last year since the advent
of
these
affordable... That's the squashing of the middle class for you.
Affordable sport planes.
Instead of four guys with, you know, 100K salaries, now there's a guy with a 400K salary who wants a damn plane.
Look, I'm looking at this thing right now, and I don't know. I think it's probably a little bit more than 90 miles, but I could be wrong. What's even closer? Well, you know what? It's probably not closer, but the Bahamas are really close.
Bahama Mama?
The Bahamas look like they're about 150 miles from Miami. I've never been to the Bahamas. I've only been to a couple places in the Caribbean. I've been to...
You look like you'd burn.
Well, yes, but that's not the necessarily a problem. It's just that I've been to, like, the Cozumel and the Playa del Sol in Mexico, and I wasn't impressed.
Sad to say.
Maybe they're different now with the advent of, like, spring break being in the last...
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think that tends to degrade your infrastructure.
Well, actually, like I think people have probably put money into Cozumel in order to attract spring breakers.
So it's not so much as more spring breakers as people hoping for spring breakers.
Right. And I've also been to Jamaica. I've been to Montego Bay. And Montego Bay was very...
Well, the first really time I got drunk was on Montego Bay Wine Cooler.
there's really not much to report about Montego Bay. There's a little downtown area. There's a Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville there. Ugh. There's a bunch of resort hotels, and you really don't do a whole lot else. And it's hot as fuck. It is hot as fuck. Oh, and we were at a wedding. We were in a wedding in Montego Bay, and in the middle of the wedding, we look on the roof of one of the hotel buildings in the hotel where, and the wedding was outside. We look up and there's a peacock, a gigantic male peacock on the roof. And it's like, we saw a giant cock on the roof. Well, actually, that's why I looked up and I said, I turned to a couple people in my row and I'm like, I believe that's tonight's dinner. And Dory, without missing a beat, goes, they're serving jerk cock.
Nice.
Jerk cock.
That's one funny pregnant wife you got.
Oh, yeah. She's pretty pregnant, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she's not real happy about it.
This is not the summer to be freaking pregnant.
You know,
7 million degrees.
I don't think the heat is even a problem.
No.
No.
Well, hey, I've never understood why anyone would want to do such a thing.
I don't know.
Here's a fun link I found.
Okay.
It's a terrible answer they give, but it's a good cocktail party question. I like to have a few of these in my pants, just so I can entertain at cocktail parties.
There's a cocktail party in
your pants?
Not actually
talk to people.
There's a cocktail party in your pants?
Yes. If the internet was turned off tomorrow, what five things would you print out?
Before it gets turned off?
Yes.
What would I print out? What five things would I print out?
It's like your top five desert island internet pages.
Wow.
So I thought about it a long time. Okay, so the jackass who asks it,
well,
his top three are survival stuff because he figures if the internet's off, shit's hitting the fan.
I think he's thinking
too
hard.
Which is too practical.
He's thinking
too
hard.
We're looking for what's the most interesting shit out there. Not. Yeah.
And what do you mean by pages? I mean, do I have
not
time?
Not an entire site.
Do I have to?
I would have
time
to say. You can't get Wikipedia. Although you can get that on iPod now.
Really?
Yeah, they package it all up as a little build that you can dump right on your iPod.
That's fantastic.
It is fucking fantastic.
I would just rather look at it on, like, some kick-ass Treo-type phone that I have. I think that'll probably be better for me.
Okay.
But I don't have one, so... Although somebody sent me my first image in a mail in a SMS like message.
Oh, you can get those? I had no idea.
Somebody sent me like a message with an attachment, and it had a picture in it. It's the first one
was
I've gotten.
Boobs?
The first one I've gotten on my phone.
You've never gotten a picture sent to your phone?
Because I have a shitty Nokia like 6200.
Oh, I see. With a little nubbin you can pluck out of it.
No. No nubbin. No, that's the old one. This is my new Nokia. God damn it.
Well, that's cool. Was it a good picture? Was it of someone's testes?
It was of Rich Numb and like a devil mask or something.
I don't know who that is.
All right, so it doesn't matter. Anyway,
so what are your five pages, man?
All right, well, my five pages would be... Well, I would one of them would probably be some sort of... Oh, you know what? I'd probably print out maybe like a big long list of like quotes or something, like Mitch Hedberg quotes. But I'd definitely print out Conan O'Brien's graduation day speech at Harvard in like the year 2000, where he says something.
In the year 2000.
Well, yeah, it was like 2002 or something. And he graduated from Harvard.
Yes.
Marvin
at Harvard.
From Harvard. He graduated from Harvard. And when he came back to speak at like student day or whatever around graduation, he talked about how when he was a student, he wanted to be like a student day speaker, and they told him no. And he said, "Please indulge me as I read my speech."
His old speech
that I wrote. And he like pulls this piece of paper out. And a couple of the jokes from this speech were like, he says, "My fellow classmates, as we sit here listening to that aha song that will never go out of style," or something like that. And
so
then
he'd rewritten it.
Later he
to be
says,
funnier.
"And I envision a..." No, I mean, this is not his real speech.
Right.
This is a joke.
Yes, I get
But
it.
He says,
I'm with you
and
now.
He's talking about things he envisions for the future. And he says, "And I envision a globally interconnected network of computers that will so enrich people's lives, they will lose all interest in idle chit-chat and pornography." Which I thought was very funny.
Which is all the internet is indeed used for.
I thought, well, I'm looking at our little sound wave, and there's like this long block of silence as you didn't laugh at that joke. Maybe it's my fault.
You can dub in some laughter there.
Maybe later. Maybe I didn't deliver it quite right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what post production's for.
If we had any.
I think I've decided that I don't have any five pages. The internet is great to me because of its constant flow.
Yeah,
I have nothing.
I agree.
There'd be some interesting stuff, like, you know, with five books, maybe you could print those out. It'd be better than having a book. Whatever. But jackass is going to choose Goatsy and then regret it when it's one, you know, 20% of what he has to entertain himself with.
Basically, I'm just saying that there's a couple of static things that I would print out that are of value. And really,
do you remember what you went out on the internet for before the web existed? Because we were both slightly predated, very slightly predated the web.
Well, actually, I mean, we were right there.
Right.
When it all started.
In a high-tech college.
In the highest tech college. It was the first college anywhere to have every single classroom, office, and dorm room with a fiber optic
port. You know, the Case Western entry on Wikipedia mentions the Rain F scandal, where he overinflated our and got us a really good wired campus rating on Yahoo, and then the next year it plummeted because he lied about the exact numbers of this and that.
Well, all I know is that every single dorm room and every single classroom and every single office had the crew
net
fiber
optic. Not to mention,
there was two
people on the floor that didn't have a computer.
I have to say that whoever put the money in and said, "We're going to need this because the technology is going to exist someday where we can view lectures and other things
right
over the net."
I mean, we were looking at videos over the net in 1992. There's no web.
In 1990, I was using my 386 SX.
Doc, rest in peace, would do his little class notes.
Well, not even that was available in 1990. In 1990, all I could do was pretty much use Telnet to go to the Freenet use FTP.
The Novell network. On campus, you could download stuff from Elm and Ginkgo and Pine.
Right. You could do that. You could also use, if you had a Mac, you could use something called...
The Macs definitely had good stuff.
I forget what it was called, but it was an instant messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And it would put like a... just a window right in front of everything you were doing. Apple little thing, like I was called like broadcast or something like that. And you could use it, and on my 386 SX with a 65 megabyte hard drive, I don't know, 64 megs of RAM or something like that. Oh no chance,
not even mine started with 4.
I think
megs
I had 16
of RAM.
Megs of RAM.
I went up to 8. There's no way you had 16.
No?
Unless I bought the microcomputer purchasing program that you come as a freshman. 386, SX25, 4 megs of RAM, 125 meg hard drive.
Oh.
The next year didn't even have 125 with their 486s.
I know that when people...
We were kings of storage.
People came in buying... my buddy Doug got the 486 33 when he came in the case. And my buddy Mike...
Smoking.
Check this out. Mike Patty... Hold it. Landings Research? I got it. Hello, who are you?
Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm calling from Triad Research.
You have to tell them on the air. It's like illegal.
Hospitals and healthcare in the greater Cleveland area. Would you have time to answer some questions today and include your opinion?
Well, before I answer some questions, I have to tell you by law that you are on the air. We are doing an internet-based radio show right now, and you've inadvertently called in.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we'll answer your questions. It's just going to be on the air.
That's okay, thanks.
Oh, okay.
I can't really hear that speakerphone. What was the...
He said, oh, okay, thank you, goodbye.
Where are they from?
Landings Research, something about healthy. I think I've just discovered something.
Telemarketers don't want to be recorded?
Ah.
Trust me, I've had some flirtations with collections, with telemarketers, any of those people. Tell them you're recording the call.
I think we just discovered something. If you tell them they're recording the call, you have a pretty good chance of them not pursuing the call.
Absolutely. Or straightening up and flying right in ways they would not even come close to you otherwise.
That's right.
And you don't have to record it. You just tell them.
Yeah. It's a bluff. Absolutely. In this case, it was not. I'm pretty impressed with ourselves.
That was fun.
Anyway, we used to... So my buddy Mike Patty... came in with his graduation present.
486.
No. You're going to be impressed with this. You ready for this? He had a Mac that had a 32-bit color graphics card.
Nice. What year?
1990. Listen to this. 32-bit color graphics card.
That must have cost $4,000.
Hear me out. It had a 140 megabyte hard drive.
Oh, fuck.
It had... a color monitor capable
like
of displaying the 32-bit
graphic station right
and
there.
A laser printer.
That's a truly professional setup right there.
$14,000.
Holy crap.
That was his graduation present. I think he got it instead of a car.
Yeah. Cars didn't cost that much back then. That was 1990.
I think it was $14,000.
Yeah.
It was
you
the
get
most
a really nice car for that.
And we were desperately scouring... the FTP. We would use FTP. That was the thing. FTP was our main tool to go to like to Washington University
lyrics,
and Stanford. Stanford Woosel had a big
archives.
The Woosel Archives. Stanford had a big thing. There
New
were
Mexico,
others.
I remember having something.
There were
they
others.
Had guitar tabs.
Okay.
Not that I played guitar.
No.
But I used to collect music crap a lot. Then.
We would scour the web day after day looking for anything that would work on the
Did
Mac
you ever get
and
ASCII
display
porn?
Color. I love ASCII porn.
Yeah.
ASCII porn makes
I've
me hard.
Put it out in yeah. Well.
It makes me hard.
Absolutely.
If it's good.
Yeah.
They do it right.
Especially in 1991.
Oh,
it's close to the edge. Right
I would
there.
Do. I remember I used to dial in every now and then to some of these BBSs.
Oh, I never did the dial.
They had hundreds of thousands of JPEGs and GIFs and stuff.
Ugh. Over the slowest pot. What was it like? 14.4. Maybe 9600.
I think it was probably 2400. Might
Ouch.
Have been 9600, but I think it was 20. Might have been 14.4. I think it was 2400. And I remember one day, I just grabbed an entire directory of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And
I snarfed a Usenet group before I went home one summer. Someone had written a thing called Snarf, which would just grab everything
right.
in the entire.
That's right.
You
could use
Trier.
You could use Forte Agent.
And you don't know that
Forte Agent was the best news reader program for a long time. Then others caught up. But for a while there, Forte Agent was the best.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, what were you grabbing back
Grabbed
then?
A big directory of pictures. Now let me think about this because we had a couple of mishaps doing this. Okay, I know what it was. You would just basically, you know, all the pictures in this one particular one that were not, they were not sorted by any, in any way. So you just kind of had to, like, it was like hit or miss. You might get a pretty girl, you might get an ugly girl, you might get something really gross.
Nothing new.
It's so that's how we wound up with, like,
each one would take a girl. You'd watch it download, so it right. was a much bigger delivery, more build-up.
Exactly. And you basically, actually, you couldn't see the picture until it was down because it's FTP. This wasn't a browser.
Absolutely.
So you get the picture, and you look at it, and if it was good, you might go get the whole series.
And to look at it, I mean, unless were you on the Mac at that point?
No, we were actually doing this on my 386SX.
Yeah, so you would have had to fire something up else completely. You would. There's no windowing environment in 1990. Not for the PC.
There was no Windows 3.1?
It might have been not 1, 3.
3.1.
3.0.
3.1, Windows for workgroups?
That's what I came in. Workgroups was not out until a year or two later, but 3.0 was out when I came in.
I'm pretty sure that I just...
But I didn't use it frequently. I would use all my networking through the command line.
I used to use some kind of thing
and then drop in for my word processor.
I think it was called PC Tools. Was what I used a lot, and it gave you a kind of a Windows Explorer kind of a feel where you could see like
and
trees, and you could use a
nice.
Mouse to kind of click on things, and you could launch
but
external
going from
programs.
ASCII mode to graphics mode was a big deal.
Yeah, well,
you couldn't display both those.
I forget how we would look at GIFs, but we'd look at them, and so we grabbed one, and it was a picture of a man. Putting his penis into the anus of another man.
Nice.
And we
weren't. You were changed forever?
We weren't. Well, you know, to be frank, I had seen pictures of that before. In the Leisure Time Products porno catalog.
Okay.
Which held nothing back.
Oh, you would think they wouldn't give it to you before you ordered something from the catalog.
Well, I just showed you pictures, you know.
A little star
scenes,
over the interesting
little,
stuff.
Little, you know, scenes
thumbnails?
And things. Thumbnails, if you will. Anyway, so I had seen it before, so you know I wasn't like horrified or anything like that. I wasn't appetized, but I wasn't horrified.
Right.
But we were like, "What do we do with this? Why don't we take? Why don't we use the network to put it over to Mike Patty's computer and print it out on the laser printer?" So we printed it out on the laser printer, and then we posted it on the door. Of my next door neighbor in Sherman, a kid named Mark Bluebaugh. And Mark Bluebaugh was the most virulently homophobic person I had ever met.
He had floppy hair. He was a swimmer.
No.
No? All right.
No. No, he in fact, he was the subject of my first foray into like hacking.
Oh, nice.
Because he was running for class. Vice president or treasurer or something, and some other kid was running for class president, and they were good buddies. And so I was like, I bet they're, you know,
doing it?
I'm like, well, no, I mean, I'm like, Mark is like a total racist and homophobe.
And all around nice guy.
let's dig up some dirt on this cat. So we went to his Macintosh and we cracked the password, and we found a log of his like this Macintosh chat. Program that he was using with his buddy, and it was also stuff about like I can't believe how many niggers they've admitted this year into
Jesus.
Case and stuff like that, and I'm like, dude, these guys are running for class president and shit.
That so is not cool.
So I went to Mark and I said, look,
that's Mel Gibson-esque.
I said, drop out of the race, or I'm going to send this to the Observer. And he's like, look, man, why don't we just try to work this out here, okay? This is just two bros chatting over, like, you know, like you might talk to someone. It's not really what you believe. It's just something that you say in a social situation, blah, blah, blah. In the end, I didn't report it to the Observer because I suddenly became afraid of the fact that I was trespassing on his computer to get it, and I'm not
did
like a reporter.
Did you get money out of it or anything?
No. I was a loser.
Hmm.
And he won the election, both of them.
Hey, those frenzies were great, though.
Huh?
You put together the frenzies?
Frenzy? Wait, what are those?
There was some wing night in the spot. I don't know. It went on for like 4 years until we got there or something. I don't even know.
The spot sucked.
Yeah, you couldn't drink.
Yeah, you could.
At the spot? Well,
yeah.
Only if you're age.
Well,
and then it was lame.
It depend if you had a fraternity brother like I did that was manning the taps.
Ah, very nice.
And so that was a way to get, you know, the occasional beer.
Well, I mean, there's a heavy disinterest in case in actually that kind of fun partying. So that probably hurts it too.
Yeah, and the fact that they were serving wild pizza. Were you around for wild pizza?
I've heard stories of wild pizza and I've seen the frisbees.
Wild pizza. Wow. Wow.
Trust me, I know what you're talking about.
Those are 16-year-old frisbees.
Yeah.
That's when I believe it was Marriott. Marriott was
doing I came in at Marriott.
Was it Aramark or Marriott?
Marriott.
Marriott was doing the food at Case. And they had a pizza delivery service called Wild Pizza. And you could order the pizza on what was called your points. And that was a thing where if you elected to, instead of just doing strictly like, you know, X number
dining
of meals per day, you could do points where you could either spend X points.
There was a little convenience store where you could spend
meal,
them.
Or you could go to the convenience store or the a la carte line or whatever and do your points. But you could order Wild Pizza with your points along with wings and other things. It it took forever to show up. 45 to 60 minutes
on a campus
guaranteed.
It would take you 10 minutes to walk tops.
45 to 60 minutes guaranteed. And it was the worst pizza of all times. it was like a thick but soggy crust.
Nice. Cardboardish.
With as
obviously
much
frozen
as
beforehand.
Much cheese as you could possibly put on a pizza. To the point where it was like eating rubber. It was the worst, and the terrible sauce, of course. And it was extremely simple. It was just crust, sauce, cheese. There was like no seasoning or anything like to doctor it up in any way. It was just canned sauce. I don't think they made the crust themselves. I don't know.
We once had pizzas at Moose O'Malley's. It was an after ultimate thing, and the old summer league was east
in Golden Gate.
Yeah. I paid $2 for a pizza. I've never spent $2 and felt ripped off before. Like, that's just error. $2 is an error level of money. Like, if something's if I dropped $2, it would not really faze me. I'm sorry if that hurt somebody, but...
Did you see Stephen Colbert talk about Wikipedia last night?
No, I've got that at Tebow.
He on his show, he created or edited or whatever his own Wikipedia entry.
Nice.
But he kind of did it. It was kind of fake. I mean, he didn't show you what he was doing on the screen. He's just kind of pretending to type or whatever. But apparently, it might have crashed. Like, there was so much... So many people went to Wikipedia right at that moment that it might have really hammered the server.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
When I went to Fidel Castro at Wikipedia to see what they had to say about his baseball history, there was a big thing along the top that said, "This page is disputed." I didn't read the detail, but I guess there's some. They have a way to label things as in contention, I guess.
I think that's true, and I don't think we've done anything to our Dial-A-Dork entry since I put it in there.
Yeah, I popped out there recently.
I think it's still asking for references.
It wants,
like, what the fuck does that mean?
I don't
know
what that means, and then I don't know what it means that. Yeah, I think we just don't have a very format up there, but someday we'll tweak that. Or one of our kind listeners ever wants to F around and mess around with it. That'd be cool with me.
You want to get physical with Dr. J here?
Sure, I have a quick question that he might enjoy as well. I don't know. Where is he?
I think he's probably chilling at home.
Chilling like a villain?
Okay, I'm looking at the Dial-A-Dork entry and it says, "This article or section does not cite its references or sources. To meet Wikipedia's quality standards, this article or section may require cleanup." Well, I don't understand what the fuck that means.
Well, they have like a format for shit, you know, how that has references at the bottom and external links and all that garbage.
Well, we have references and external links.
As like headers?
I don't know if it has the right headers.
Yeah, I think they have a template, as it were.
Okay.
So there's that, and there may be something else. I don't know.
Well,
I think it's been stamped. Some random people did this, and nobody else cares enough about it to clean it up. Damn it, fans, get out there.
Let's try something here.
This is a communal thing. So this week was the call for fantasy. I'm getting super hepped up for fantasy this year.
Fantasy football?
Fantasy football.
Oh, yes.
So we should at some point talk about resources for that.
Well, you know, my league, the league I'm in is on Yahoo. I think we're going to go 50 or 75 ahead.
Nice.
And it's
going to
be
and a 50.
It's going to be like a plus league or whatever. So we get the stat tracker, we get a trophy.
Almost everyone buys their own
stat
tracker.
And we get a, well, but the thing is in your leagues you should really spring or take out of the prize money to make it a plus league or a deluxe
but
league
I'm
or whatever.
I'm in two leagues in Yahoo, so I can use my stat tracker.
Can you?
In both, yeah.
Can you? Okay, well, the thing is that if you, I think you get all the fantasy football, like, articles and shit.
Yeah.
The thing I'm wondering is, in what round do you draft Reggie Bush?
I got a million questions. A million questions, dude. Yeah, Reggie Bush, he's got another back, even if he's starting full time. He's not a first rounder. See, one of my leagues is an auction draft.
I mean,
so I got to think of how much I want to spend on people. Which is fun.
He's sharing a backfield with Deuce McAllister, so it's like
who's performed year after year, if he's not hurt.
Yo.
Dr. J. You're on the speakerphone.
And you're on the interweb.
You're on the Icecast.
Fantastic. I'm on the show. What's up?
I have a question for you.
I'll try and answer it.
Okay, hold on a second, okay?
Go for it, yeah.
Let's get physical with Dr. J. We had to do that, sorry.
I'm so glad.
First question is, I did some electrical work today in my house. Well, the last couple of days.
That's actually a statement. Was that your, that the whole premise?
Is that what?
That's a statement. I did some electrical work.
Well, I mean, what I mean is I added a couple of outlets and light switches and stuff.
So you have to wire those into the whole electrical thing that the house already has, right? You can't just plug them into the walls.
Right, I mean they already existed on the breaker box. I didn't add a fuse or a breaker or a circuit. I just added outlets and switches to things that were already on a circuit. Are you with me?
Okay.
Now, my question to you is, what is the purpose of this omnipresent ground wire?
In case something goes wrong and there's an overload with the chip, there's a place to discharge some of the extra electricity in a sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't appear that the ground is in contact with any of the electrical circuits. So how is the ground going to dissipate?
My understanding, as a non-science guy, is that there's a big spike drilled into the ground somewhere in your basement, or a strap that goes to that, or to a
or like
a water
your
pipe.
Cold water pipe or something.
Yeah, to disperse
and
charge.
But how does the charge get to the ground wire if it's not touching anything else?
It's not charge. It's just excess energy.
It's just what?
Excess energy.
But okay, where is that? I mean, like heat or something?
Well, electrical energy.
But so if you have a little higher voltage here or there, you want you don't want something crazy
high
to show up.
But I don't understand. If isn't it all contained in the other wires, the black and white wire, in this three-wire setup, and the ground isn't touching any of those. So how does it get to the ground?
It takes a ferry, you see. There's a ferry that leads from the
dock. I was
going
to ask you how to do this, but now I'm scared to ask you.
10:30. And if the electricity is on it, then it can get to the ground wire.
So, in other words, if the energy is on the Staten Island ferry,
exactly.
By 11 o'clock, it can make it back to Manhattan?
Precisely.
Okay. So, in other words, you don't fucking know.
Not a clue. I never did
this
any of that important actual electrical, you know.
I see. So your physics, not double E, or?
Exactly. You need an engineer, and that's going to cost you a lot more an hour.
Oh, okay. Very good. Anyway, we also had another question for you.
Yeah.
In what round should you draft Reggie Bush?
You know what? I think you're going to have to take him. I think somebody's going to pick him up in the second round. Somebody's going to gamble and second round him.
Well, God bless them then.
I mean, I would take him very high if I was in a keeper league.
If you were
keeper.
I would definitely take him as soon as I could. Because that assumes also I would have at least a quarterback and a running back, or maybe two running backs.
Because I think he's going to be a superstar. The thing is, this year he might just catch a lot of passes and maybe, you know, being on third downs a lot I mean, does anyone... I mean, I assume that Deuce McAllister is 100% because he got injured so early in the year, as Dave Seaman might attest.
What I saw was he's back.
True.
So.
Yeah, I think anyone takes him second round is... They're killing themselves. You can't get involved in dual back situations too deeply. You can't spend too much on those. Or you're gambling. I mean, it might pay off, but you can't be that risky if you want to win your league.
So, you got anything else to add, my friend?
I bring nothing to the table as per the usual.
Any cool websites this week or any tales from the dork side?
I bought a...
Pieces of flair, maybe?
What's up?
A piece of flair, maybe?
I was going to say, I bought a headset microphone combination. So far, it's working very nicely.
Did you get that off of Woot?
No. I swear to God, as much as I love Woot, I have not been able to get anything there that is worth my time.
I almost bought the putter the other day.
Everything I've seen from Woot has been like stuff I don't... It's just crap I don't need.
By the way, I don't know if you know this, but if you go to wine.woot.com.
Yes.
They have wine deals.
Yes, they do.
And there was a four pack of something of a Sangiovese called Fappiano from full four for $40.
Not a split.
And I called Steve Schuler, and oftentimes a email or a instant messenger contributor to the show, and I asked him what he thought of Sangiovese from Fappiano, and he said it was really good, and that. It was being offered from anywhere from 14 to 18 a bottle, so 4 for $40 was a good deal.
Cool.
So I was impressed with wine.woot.com.
Very nice.
I may check that out. I did not know about that.
All right, my friend, we'll let you go.
All right.
Thanks for contributing.
I wish I could have been more help with the ground wire, but I really don't. I've never really understood that fundamentally.
Well, just...
I figured I'd talk until you figured it out.
Keep your feet on the ground
and keep reaching
for the
your nads.
Stars.
All right.
All right. See you, dude.
F off.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
So let me throw in my uneducated two cents, what I've kind of built up in my mind about the ground wire.
Go ahead, but I'm going to start looking for the answer on Wikipedia.
Yeah, please do. Please do. I'm sure it'll be much more succinct, if not accurate, than mine. So houses didn't have ground wires ages ago. I mean, everything in Cleveland Heights, for fuck's sake, is all, you know, just positive negative. The deal is, somehow it's safer. I think the devices themselves have some way to make sure, because those two wires have to be, what's the voltage we run at? 110? Their difference is 110. Okay?
You know what? You're going to have to go back about 30 seconds.
Yeah, because you were surfing?
I'm already lost it. So go ahead.
All right, so the difference between your positive and negative are just, that's the voltage we run on is 110. That doesn't mean compared to, the next device or something else in your house, because those are only difference of 110. One of those could be 24,000 compared to zero. And something else, and that's dangerous because now you're running at huge voltages that kill people.
Right.
So the ground wire, I think, basically makes sure that not only is everything at 110, but we don't have these crazy, device gets crazy
how?
And out of whack or something. How does it do that?
It's not touching anything.
No, it goes straight to your devices. The devices use it to, I don't know, man.
What? What are you talking about? Are you talking about that third prong?
Yeah, the big round prong. I don't know how in your appliances. It makes it safer, but I believe it's in the appliance.
It says ground is a conductor with continuity to earth.
Yes. And it never
What the fuck does that mean?
I mean, you never want it to touch your actual circuits, in the sense of... All it does is make sure you don't get a crazy voltage spike, basically, in your devices.
Well, the whole thing doesn't make any fucking sense. If somebody would please, please, please... Email dorks
at
dial-a-dork.com with a good explanation of what the ground wire is and how it works and the fact that it's not fucking touching anything else.
And by the way, there's no listeners right now.
I know.
But
I didn't announce the
fucking
show.
How do you plug in the... How do you make a new plug? Because I may need to do that. How do you make a new outlet somewhere?
Okay, like I said, I did not
I thought you said you'd
add
that.
A breaker, a new circuit
I'm
to my breaker
panel. I
think
I want to do that.
I simply, kind of what I basically did was interrupt an existing circuit and add new outlets.
Please tell me you followed somebody's instructions to do that. You didn't just think this might work.
Well, I actually looked on a couple of online resources just to see.
Okay.
But I basically cut the breaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God.
I took the thing off and I just looked at what people did and I'm like, okay, this makes perfect sense.
So there's already more than one outlet hanging off there, and well, you copied it.
Kind of what it was.
You cut
was
and
like,
pasted your electrician.
Here's what I did is I took these two ceiling lights back here,
yep.
And I put them on wall switches.
Okay.
And I added outlets to those room, to additional outlets too.
I mean, putting in a switch, I'm pretty comfortable with. I understand that, but I don't know how to stick in a new plug.
Well, the way
basically the question is serial parallel, right?
Well, no, the way the plug works is this. Okay, you have your three wire
red, black, green.
Actually, it's white, black, and then bare copper, which is the ground.
Interesting.
Okay. Black is hot. White is...
In theory, white should be the same as ground to keep your difference.
Okay.
But it's when those two wander is why you have a ground.
Forget theory.
Yes. Okay. I can. Because I have no practical knowledge. All I have is theory, man.
Here's what I did. I ran... I realized that at these ceiling lights was a conglomeration of wires.
Okay.
Like, this light, that out, there's an outlet behind here, and there's an outlet back on the wall over there.
Okay.
All those run out of that ceiling light, which is actually connected to the ceiling light in the bathroom.
So it's like one big thick cord that runs up to your light and then breaks out?
No, that's wrong.
It's just those three stands running up to your light.
Here's what it is they took, you take one thing of like 12/2 gauge wire, and you run that from the breaker panel, okay? And
how do you plug that into your breaker panel?
That I don't know.
Oh, you didn't have
But you'd have to open the breaker panel, and I'm sure it's easy.
It's probably a punch down kind of idea,
probably,
right?
Probably really easy.
Does that come from the telco world, right? If anything.
I know it's probably really easy, and I assume that you've got some massive, I don't know about 30 amp, but it's probably some massive like 75 amp or something line going into your house. And you
can
just,
what they call in England, the mains.
Yeah, the mains. And you just tap into it with another, you know, you take off another little thing and you put a breaker on it. And then from there, okay, so we ran a wire inside conduit, right, into the bathroom.
Good call.
Okay, now. And I want you to imagine this. In the bathroom, they took the three wires inside of this, right? They attached the ground to the ground. In the ceiling, there's like a what's called a ceiling box. In the ceiling box, they attached ground to the ground,
which is just you screwed it down basically onto
right.
what they wanted
to have coming out of there was a wall outlet, a ceiling light, and another line going into this room. So you strip the ends of the wire coming in. You strip the ends of the wire going to the wall outlet. You strip the ends of the wire going to the ceiling light.
Those motherfuckers all
and
together.
You strip the ends of the wire going in here, and you put all the blacks together, and you screw one of those things.
Wire nuts, yeah.
So it basically is just a big sharing.
They all come together. Okay.
Okay, it's just big conductivity sharing.
They all come in at one spot. That's parallel, I believe.
Well, the point is that, so I open up the lamp. I'm like, well, this might be really complicated, but let's see. And I noticed it just clamped a whole bunch of shit together. I just had to kind of trace it through the ceiling to figure out where it was going. So I undid those, took out old things that I didn't want anymore, added new things that I wanted, put new nuts on, put new conduit in, screwed it to the wall. And here's what I did was I put a new outlet box in the wall and a new light switch above it. And so I think to myself, well, how am I going to do this? Because the light switch, I don't want the light switch to interfere with the outlet. So what I did was I ran two wires. I ran two sets of wires over here, okay, through the conduit. I hadn't attached them to anything. I just fed them through the conduit. I ran one wire is supposed to go from the mains, if you will, all the way through to past the switch, even though it's in the same conduit.
But not electrically.
Not stopping
connected.
There, going all the way down to the outlet. And then I have, and what the outlet has is two sets of screws, two that are like brass colored and two that are silver colored. And you put the hot or the black wire on the brass, and you put the white wire on the silver.
This is on which one? The switch or
this
the
This is
outlet?
On the outlet.
Okay.
And it's got two sets of these. The two brass are on one side. Basically, what
That's
they...
amazing what they let people do in their own houses.
It's amazing.
You could have killed yourself.
And well, I turned the breaker off.
Yeah, but you didn't have to. You could have been a complete idiot.
Well, my buddy upstairs said he turned the wrong one off once and gave himself a healthy little buzz. But basically, what those act as a pass-through, because you can either just attach wires, one black to a brass and one white to a silver, and you're done.
Or
you can have another one on the second pair running out.
Which would be parallel.
Kind of like
or
this.
Or would be serial, not
it's
kind
of like the modem pass-through on the back of a fax machine or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
You can either just run the phone in, or you can actually run a receiver out. Okay, so then I ran the wire out of the plugs up to the light switch, at which point the white line goes all the way through. The black line you have to cut.
Aha.
So the black line you cut, and it gets interrupted at the switch.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I had power that wasn't going to get interrupted, go to the outlets, and then coming back up, go to the switch. And then when it came back to the mains, it didn't go to the mains. It went to the light.
So all that stuff was in serial. The original, the stuff you wired under together was all in parallel.
I don't know if it's parallel or serial or what. But I basically did the exact same thing over here, except slightly different because I have a box that has both outlets and a switch. So I just basically bypassed.
I think I'm going to steal my power from a bathroom outlet. So I've got a closet.
Dude?
I'm going to put network equipment in.
Russ,
there's no plugs.
You're a very smart guy.
Well, I'm sure I can figure it out.
You open up. Open up. Take the fucking faceplate
off. No, this is exactly what I was hoping.
Take the faceplate off the fucking outlet, and you will see. By the way, don't be surprised, A, if it's really difficult to pull the outlet out once you unscrew it. The wires are pretty
short.
Thick.
Okay.
And they're pretty thick. And it's pretty hard getting them back in again. But don't worry. They bend real nice.
Gotcha.
You just got to, you know, I had a hell of a time getting the outlet to be straight up and down and kind of.
Well, from your porn
stories today,
I think straight might be an issue for
you. Not only up and down, not only left and right, but also like. Facing front.
Oh, the yaw and the pitch?
They get a little torqued, and then you try to put the faceplate back on, and it's all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's super easy to just...
It sounds pretty good. It sounds doable.
You basically are just going to vampire off the mains.
Yeah, I think I can do that.
And you know what? You don't even... If you don't leave anything really exposed,
mm-hmm.
you don't even have to, like... I don't know. I don't think you really have to mount anything or anything. So I think I did a good job. I haven't smelled anything smoking or anything like that. So I think I did it.
Sweet. I like it. I appreciate the knowledge.
Well, hopefully next week we'll have Drew on the show, and I guarantee that Drew can explain the ground.
Hey, last week when we were going to do the show, I was desperate for some help.
I know Matt
can
do it too. Matt's got to be able to do it because he's done all that work on his
own. Yeah, I'm sure he has.
What now?
I was going to... Tales from the Dark Side, but are we close to the end here?
Looks yeah,
later
we're actually
than I thought it was.
We're actually doing real well. We could stop right now. I had some flair, but I don't really feel like talking about it because I'm mad at it, so I don't
want to
talk about it.
So last week I had a little computer problem I was hoping Irv would help me out with that I finally sorted out.
Oh, right. What happened?
What I was seeing symptom-wise was a machine that didn't seem to be booting or was booting weirdly, or I didn't know what was going on. Basically, I stripped everything out of the machine. No memory. No hard drives, no cards, just processor, motherboard, power supply.
Sure.
Plug it in.
You should at least get some boot codes.
Plug it in nothing. I wasn't getting beeps, which was really confusing me. Plug it in nothing, hit power, it would all the fans would start up, but it would not go off if I hit power again. And nothing beeped. And if I unplugged the power supply from the wall, it would turn off, obviously. Plug it back in. Nothing would work. It wouldn't come on again with me hitting the switch unless I unplugged the motherboard and plugged that back in.
So a lot of
what
reseeting
I
going on.
What I finally figured out was I was not actually booting when the power. I was just turning power on to the devices. So that's it. Wasn't I thought it was booting, but not showing me any video or beeping. But really, it was just taking in power and spinning up fans. Nothing was processing.
So the CPU wasn't getting anything?
It didn't like it. So I finally built it up a little bit. I had stuff in there. I left it on for like a while. was doing something else, like an hour, and it beeped. I looked up the beeps and it said something about memory. Hello!
Excuse me, sorry.
And it turns out I swapped the memory over to the other port, which I thought I'd done a million times, and it worked.
So bad memory port or just a bad configuration?
That's a good question.
Some motherboards are very picky
about...
I had two
of the same machines that were giving me similar crap, so I think... it just needs its initial configuration to be
some
correct.
Motherboards get a little weird about using maybe the third memory slot or whatever. I mean, some are real cool no matter what you do, and they just seem to handle anything, and some get real icky. Oh, by the way, I just want to say that I've been reading... I need a new main computer. My computer upstairs has become incredibly unstable. The processor, even though I've got it to run for days at a time, but it's just not a good system.
Now Bertinelli wasn't having any of it?
No. Well, it's more than one day at a time. I get it to run for days at a time, but then it still tends to reboot on its own. And this was the one I was talking about where I had to hack the heatsink on there use all these like nuts and bolts and bullshit to pull it on.
Yeah, drilling things.
It was
in
so
fucking
not good. Really not good. Move. But it worked, but it's really not doing well, and I'm gonna get rid of it. I've been shopping for a new machine. I know I'm going with the Core 2 Duo. Have you read about this?
Pretty cool, man.
The bottom of the line Core 2 Duo, which you can get the E6300 Core 2 Duo running at 1.86 gigahertz, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it turns out that it's doing a hell of a lot more with each hertz than others,
Those
chips.
Don't hurt them.
And it's running at it runs at like the 1066 front side bus, and dude, this thing is a screamer, and it runs cool. Like 30 or 40 degrees Celsius.
It would also probably be really good for one of my new server applications, which is VMware. I'm running like multiple VMs, so multiple processors would be a natural fit.
Well, this Core 2 Duo is supposed to be the chip. It's supposed to be fabulous. And I read an article that the guy overclocked it all the way up to almost 3 gigahertz. I am. And I'll tell you why I am is because... He overclocked it to almost 3 gigahertz and did not have to replace the factory heatsink and fan.
Wow.
And it was running at like 40 degrees Celsius.
Now, really quick.
Two sentences.
How do you overclock? What do you change?
You have to change the timings.
Yeah, but how do you
change
that
the voltages? You change voltages and you change timings in newer motherboards.
Is that a jumper? Or?
Actually, newer motherboards from like Asus and stuff have BIOS settings. You can change voltages. You can change frequencies. You can change timings. You got to change like the front side bus frequencies. You got to change the memory timings.
Everything has to time.
It's got to be kind of in the same cycle. I suggest you go to an overclocking blog or an overclocking site and look at a guide. But there are all kinds of multipliers and things you have to do to get it to work right. But it's become it's totally commonplace now to overclock. But these things are getting overclocked like 50%. And you don't even have to change the factory cooling, which is just heatsink and just plain old Intel heatsink and fan.
Right.
Which says to me that people out there are going to overclock these things to like 4 gigahertz, just, running like liquid nitrogen, and modify. Like people out there like literally modify the voltage regulators and modulators on their motherboards. They like pop the capacitors off and solder new shit on there. And I'm like, that's not me, but I mean, you can do it not through necessarily software, but you can definitely do it in the BIOS. You don't have to switch jumpers or anything. For like $219
CPU. Processor and motherboard?
I need processor, I need motherboard, and I need memory. I've got everything else. I've got everything else I need.
You let me know what you buy, because I know you're a good shopper for this stuff, and I think I need to do that,
too. Well, Zip Zoom Fly has the E6300 shipping on, like, August 7th or 5th or 7th or something like that. It's not in yet. It's not in stores yet. Shipping then with free shipping for $219. I think Tiger Direct has it for $209, but it's, like, $10 shipping. So it's, like, it's a wash. Micro Center is going to be like $299, even though that Intel came out and said the list price is going to be $183.
So if we wait, another month or two, or what?
No, I'm not going to wait. But I got to get the motherboard.
That's kind
and
of
I gotta
a principle
get the,
in my mind.
I got to get new memory, too.
If you're in the computer business, don't wait for stuff, right?
Well, it
turns out, always something to wait for.
It turns out that you could wait till next year, and AMD's coming out with quad-core, and Intel's coming out with all-new Core 2 stuff. But
Intel
had
a statement this week that said nobody needs 8-core, and that's going to look just like no machine will ever need.
I need a computer now.
You shouldn't wait.
Listen to this. Listen to this.
I don't think you shouldn't wait.
I just got an email from Geeks.com, ComputerGeeks.com. They're great, by the way. I got those from Geeks.com. I've been working on a new link server for my media files. I'm going to do a RAID 5 finally.
Very nice.
I got 250 gig serial ATA.
$70.
One. Not serial ATA 2.
Oh, okay.
But serial ATA 1 with 1-year warranties from Geeks.com for $59.99 a piece.
Nice.
All right,
what kind of card do you got that's plugged in to do RAID 5?
I bought
hardware or software RAID?
It's a software RAID, but it's on a card. It's a it's like a Silicon Image 3114 RAID. But I found it on eBay for like $40.
I have a $14 one just
but
to
it's,
do two
it's
drives.
Already, you know what? It's already crapped out twice, so I'm just going to get a motherboard that has RAID 5 on it.
Ooh,
and I'm just going to do it that way.
Nice.
Okay. By the way,
I've really been thinking about server stuff at home, probably stupid, but
listen
I'm
to this.
All excited.
There's an Asus motherboard that's Core Duo compatible, but it's like $269. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's like a lot more than I want to spend on the motherboard by like about, I don't know, $169. And
but if it replaces a couple cards, you're good.
It's got six serial ATA ports that can do RAID 5. It's got an external serial ATA port. Okay, it's also got an external antenna jack for Wi-Fi that's built into the motherboard that can act as an access point. And that is fucking awesome.
That is pretty fucking awesome.
Did those guys leave?
Honey, it's
9:30. Sorry.
Why did they leave?
It's 9:30.
Did they like the movie?
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Okay.
Dory hates me.
No.
All right.
It's late.
No. We got to wrap it up.
Yep. Wow.
We're going to talk about
what
this
were they
more.
Watching?
We're going to talk about this more, and next week I'll tell you about my trip to Atlantic City.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
We're driving.
Where are you staying?
At my mom's got a free apartment for a week.
Beauty.
It's about a half a mile
from the
Hilton.
Spend some time on the boardwalk. Should
about
be nice.
About half a mile from the Hilton.
It's good weather.
So Dory's going to be cold chilling by the pool. What do you think, babe? All right. Well, anyway, got to go. That's the end of the show. Visit dial-a-dork.com. See our new methodology for serving the Icecast via Audio Realm. I went out and paid for the software, for the Simplecast software.
It must be
bucks.
Good shit. Or
$60. I want to thank Shane for giving us $10 to put towards that. And
even though he didn't listen tonight. Damn you, Shane.
Oh, well, he never listens live.
Oh.
He never
he did
listens
originally.
Live. He listens at work. It's okay. We love you, Shane. And we're gonna come up with your segment, I promise.
That's right. Wait, so, what were we gonna do? Old school stuff?
I forget now.
We spent like half an hour talking about 1990 computing. That counts.
Yeah, that counts. And you got to listen to the show from last week and do the show notes, and you'll figure out what the hell we actually
and
said.
And this week, I didn't do anything yet.
Right, okay. So that's it. Dial-a-dork.com. We're over at audio. Hey, do us a favor and click on our broadcast
finance.
Over at audiorealm.com and help our rankings a little bit.
Yeah,
and visit our site, subscribe to our RSS feed, buy some gear over at Cafe Press, and I think that's about it. Okay, so thanks.
Send us email questions. Tim was unfortunately absent this week.
You know what? I didn't send out the promotional email, so he probably wasn't inspired to do so. But, Tim, we love you. And
Tim, you had two whole weeks.
We will see you next week, hopefully. This is your Cleveland Dork signing off. And anything else? Any last words? Woo! Woot indeed. Wine.woot.com. Very impressed. Okay. Take care, everyone. Bye.
You get all those pimps together. It was live.